السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and our sisters listening at the madrasa, this was not a scheduled program, but nowadays there is no scheduled program. Every day, there's a taqaza comes in the heart, or the request from some brothers that some nasihat should be made. Then whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put in my mind and heart, I will convey it to you. Because that is the maqsad of our lives. So this kitab came into my hand a little while ago, before the salah. And this malfooz of Hazrat Shah Wasiullah rahmatullah alayh caught my eye. So I decided to relate it to you in this majlis. فرماتے تھے کہ اس زمانے میں خیر و شر کی تمیز اٹھ چکی ہے، اس زمانے میں خیر و شر کی تمیز اٹھ چکی ہے، چنانچہ ہر طرف بد اخلاق صاحب سلطنت ہے، چنانچہ ہر طرف سے بد اخلاق صاحب سلطنت ہے، وہ جو چاہے کرے کوئی چوں نہیں کر سکتا. Those were present here yesterday. It is coincidental, but I always say nothing is coincidental. Everything is planned by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Last night I mentioned, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib rahmatullah alayhi had said, wo qatl bhi karte hai to ghalib shair, it is ghalib had stated, وہ قتل بھی کرتے ہیں تو ہم آہ بھی کرتے ہیں تو ہو جاتے ہیں بدنام، وہ قتل بھی کرتے ہیں تو چرچا نہیں ہوتا، ہم آہ بھی کرتے ہیں تو ہو جاتے ہیں بدنام، وہ قتل بھی کرتے ہیں تو چرچا نہیں ہوتا. Even if we have to make آہ over our pains, the injustices that have been committed by someone upon us, if the government has been unjust, unfair, or any other injustice has been done, any kind of complaint that you have to bring, which is justified also, to the authorities or to whoever has done the injustice, then ho jate hain badnaam. Then instead of listening to the person's grievance, instead of coming to the assistance and help of the person who is mazloom, they will find every way of disgracing, embarrassing, humiliating, and making the victims appear like the perpetrator. How common it is today, look at it in today's society. The victim will be made to appear as if he is the perpetrator of the zulm. In many, many cases you will find that. I can give you numerous examples. And all of you know very well too what is happening around the globe in our society. That the perpetrator sometimes, because he is in authority, he is holding some position in society, sometimes maybe even like, look at the Christian society, look at the clerics, what they have done, look at the Pope, I mean look at all the other priests, what kind of cases against them. But everything was hushed up and put under the carpet. Nothing is allowed to surface because they are in authority, in position. The same in our society also, if the person is a trustee, for example, or the person is a very high profile politician, or is a business person who is donating and contributing to the different organizations. Some kind of worth that the society holds him. So now because of that, even if he is the perpetrator, then everything will be turned around and the victim will be made the perpetrator of the zulm. No justice. So therefore he said, hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam. And especially the Muslim ummah around the globe at present, whether it's in Palestine or other parts of the world, great amount of injustices will be done. But if they have to say anything, then they are the perpetrators. Instead of treating them as the victims, they say, you are the one who threw that one Scud missile across. But they don't see how much of injustice has been done from their side and how much of suppression and oppression and the closure of all the borders and not allowing even necessary items of food, clothing, shelter, etc. to come in. People are suffering all kinds of difficulties. People are without power, without water. Now all that they won't see. If one Scud missile was thrown that side, then why did they throw that? So they are the perpetrators. So therefore now we have the right to bombard them, destroy them, do whatever we wish to do. Now these type of things are very, very common. So therefore, hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam. Wo qatl bhi karte hain to charcha nahi hota. Million people can be destroyed in the Iraq war. Charcha nahi hota. The government of America will not consider that as some great loss of life. They will talk about humanitarian issues and so much of human rights issues and so much of other things. But when they are destroying indiscriminately, whose bombs were used, whose missiles were used, whose equipment was used, and whose technology was used in Afghanistan, all the different kinds of bombs that were dropped on those innocent people, helpless. They didn't even have arms and ammunition of the kind that these people were using. No bombs, no missiles, they didn't have any helicopters, they didn't have nothing. And now nobody will talk about that. The people are still suffering the effects of that poisonous bombs up till now. So hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam, wo qatl bhi karte hain to charcha nahi hota. This is what I discussed last night. So the Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi very beautifully changed it. He said, maine isko badal diya. As he changed some other poetry and he made it into more meaningful. Ghalib had said something, but he changed it into more meaningful. For those who are not here, we discussed that same. Tum kis muh se jaoge Kaaba Ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. So he said, in this, he has made the ummat despair. So I have changed it. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga, sharm ko khaak mein bulaunga. But what will I do there? Ro ro ke unko manaunga, bigri apni yu banaunga. So here he said, I have changed it. That hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam. Wo qatl bhi karte hain to pa jate hain inaam. Hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam. Wo qatl bhi karte hain to pa jate hain inaam. If we make aah also, we become badnaam. And if they make qatl also, they get inaam, rewards. The Minister of Defense really did a wonderful job. So he must be given more awards. Because he destroyed so many homes and so many people's lives were taken. And so much of destruction for the innocent men, women and children. But he did an excellent job. He gave more inaam. And even those in the high government positions or in whichever department they may be, whether it's in our country or whether it is in any other country, then look at the amount of corruption and what does it bring in return? More rewards, more awards. How many people have spent their time and life in jail and in prison for murders and for killings and for rape and for so much of other sins and crimes. And when they come out from there, they are given high government position. They stand for election. How many cases of people with highest level of corruption, when they stood for election, they reached the highest position. Hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam, wo qatl bhi karte hain to charcha nahi hota. So he said, I changed it to hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam, wo qatl bhi karte hain to pa jate hain inaam. the doors which we call of justice, the court houses, where they're supposed to be justice, they have become homes of injustice. If you got the money, you can bribe any judge. The common thing. There will be some exceptions. The situation in African countries, look at the Asian countries, and even look at the British or American, anyway. It's a matter of who you know. It's a matter of who you know. That's all. So therefore, Shah Wasirullah Rahmatullah Alayhi beautifully says, ke is zamane mein khair aur shar ki tamiz ho chuki hai. You have lost all track of what is good and what is bad. Our whole understanding of good and bad has become polluted. Bad itself was a pollution. Bad itself was an evil and a pollution. But now our understanding of what is good and bad has become polluted. So how are we going to now differentiate between good and bad? Look at the number of things that we are finding ourselves very comfortable with. I'm talking about the society at large. Whenever we talk about society at large. We must not look at some individual home where everybody is pious, righteous, and Allah Allah's. We are talking about the ummah at large. Those who travel out into the world, they know. And we know that what is our condition also. Look at the tour groups that travel out to the three Haram Sharifs. Now what a wonderful idea it is. Excellent. All the large number of people that go for umrahs, nafil umrahs upon umrahs and hajj upon hajj. Believe me, travel and see. If the flight is in the morning at 4 o'clock or 4:30, and the fajr is at 5 o'clock. Then see how many people make the fajr namaz after they are in the flight. Because the fajr will only take place another half an hour later, or 1 hour later. See how many people make the fajr salat. Or just returning from Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Tayyiba. See how many of them, look at the large number of people that are there at the airport. Muslims, it's time for namaz. We're not talking about kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud and nasara. For them it is maaf. We're talking about a large number of Muslims and you can make them out. They're all Muslims. So when namaz time, azan goes there, how many people make namaz? So therefore we look at the ummah at large. Then go and see at the airports, Muslim countries. What is the condition and situation at the airport itself? Look at the large number of alcohol sales as soon as you land at Dubai airport. And they pride themselves. That huge car that is there and the gambling that is already starting at the airport. Purchase your tickets for so many dollars and if your number comes out then you win this car, which is worth a million. And then all the others. Nakedness and obscenity and shamelessness. So this is what we look at, the large Muslim population of the world. So he says, "Is zamane mein khair aur shar ki tamiz ut chuki hai." That we have lost the plot. It seems that we really don't know in which direction we are going. If a person is lost and he knows that he is lost, then at least he will search for the right road. The person is lost, and now he realizes that I'm lost, I'm on the wrong road. So then he will do something, he will telephone somebody, he will SMS somebody, he will look for some GPS or something to find the right road and get back on track. But the person who does not know that he is lost, so then he will go on and on and on. The person has taken the wrong turn. Instead of going to Johannesburg, he has taken the turn off that is now going in some other direction, to Cape Town or somewhere else, and he doesn't know that he is lost. And he doesn't even bother about it. And he's passing the towns one after the other, and he's quite comfortable and happy. And will he ever search for the road? So like that, if we cannot differentiate between good and bad, we cannot make tamiz, we cannot say, well, this is haq and this is batil. We do not have that torchlight ourselves. Some time back I discussed about the cells of Iman. That if we have a torch where it's got no batteries, then the torch is useless. In the darkness, the torch will not give you any light. So you will not be able to see whether there is a snake there or a scorpion there or there is a ditch there which you can fall into or you can knock your head against some tree or wall or there's some ferocious animal or whatever. You can't see anything because the torch has got no light. It's got no batteries. It's got no cells of Iman. It's got no cells. So even if the torch is made of gold, but the value will be of the gold, but it's not going to give you light. If the person has got a torch made of gold, then too the value will now be of the gold. But will that gold give you light? If there's darkness and say, well, I've got a gold torch, it's worth 1 billion. So will it still be giving any light? It's not going to give any light. Even if it has a tuppenny, halfpenny, those days they used to call. So nowadays they have a few cents worth of cells also, batteries. It will give some light. Then the person can see. So the real value is of those cells in the darkness. So like that, we have got the body of Muslim. We've got the body of a Muslim. But we have to have the cells of Iman fully charged. Because sometimes the person has got battery but it is flat. Then it is not going to give light. It's got battery but it's flat. How many times we say, when it turned dark, I put the torch on, but for some time I hadn't charged the battery, so it was flat. When it was flat, it's not going to give you light. So we have to have the battery of Iman, and that battery of Iman must be charged. Then we will be able to make tamiz of haq and batil, good and bad, right and wrong. When we can make it is when we got the batteries of Iman and they are charged. If they are not charged, we can't see anything. Then we'll be Muslims in name, that's all. Then we'll say, he's a Musalman. Why is he a Musalman? They say, because he eats beef. That's our differentiation. He's a Musalman. Why? Because he eats beef. So if he eats beef, he's a Musalman. So therefore he says, hum aah bhi karte hain to ho jate hain badnaam. Wo qatl bhi karte hain to pa jate hain inaam. چنانچہ ہر طرف بد اخلاق صاحب سلطنت ہے. Wherever you look at it, the bad akhlaq, they are sahib sultanate. They have got positions in the government. They are the rulers. They are dominating. Look at our Muslim country, it's the same thing. People who have got very, very weak iman, they are given the highest positions and they are easily then bought off. They don't rule according to the Quran and Sunnah. Then the whole country suffers the consequences. فرماتے تھے کہ یہ فساد کا دور ہے. جو شخص جس کام پر معمور ہے اس کو انجام نہیں دینا چاہتا. اسی لیے ہمارے مراکز فاسد ہو رہے ہیں. لوگوں کا عجیب حال ہے کہ کام نہیں کرنا چاہتے بلکہ الٹے کام کو بگاڑنا چاہتے ہیں. مگر ان کو کوئی کچھ نہیں کہہ سکتا. Even مراکز دینیہ, which we call those institutions of deen also. People who do not want to really do any work. In fact, they want to spoil whatever is being undertaken. Something that was established with great effort, great mehnat, with great ikhlas, our akabir, our mashayikh, they established those masajid, madaris, khanqas, whatever it was. But as they grew old, or as they passed away, and it was taken over after that from those who were their juniors, but those juniors or their khulafa or those vice principals or those people who were now in authority and charge, they had not made their islah. In the hayat of that Shaykh Kamil or in the hayat of that Allah wala, they had not made their proper islah. They were there, but most of the times they took it for granted. That because we are closely related, or because we are family members, or because we are part and parcel of this madrasa or masjid or darul ulum or khanqa. So therefore, what is the need for real islah of ourselves? We got the art of controlling and running and managing. finish the figure. But because of that lack of ikhlas, which the ancestors and predecessors had, so what happens is it becomes facade. Everywhere there's nothing but facade. Institutions there's facade, masajid there's facade, madaris there's facade. Everywhere nothing but facade. Zahar al fasadu fil barri wal bahr bima kasabat aydin nas. Again, look at the world at large and go and see the institutions of men. What is happening? Look at the corruption that has entered even the institutions of deen, the organizations of deen, the anjumans of deen, the societies of deen. Look at the amount of corruption in there. In the name of deen now, it has become nothing but business. In the name of deen. Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Alayhi at one deen institution, he mentioned, he said that the workers of deen now have made deen a kind of a business. It has become business. I just give you the gist of his malfus. He said, padhne padhane ko aajkal zariye maash bana liya. That means there were businesses the person could have opened and run. There are so many different ways that we try to cheat and deceive the community at large. But can we deceive Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala is well aware of our niyats and intentions. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows very well. Therefore, I always say that the people that are running an institution, an organization, must be those people who themselves contribute something from their pockets towards that institution. In other words, their niyat is to help and assist and promote the values and the objectives of that institution. So that person will then have ikhlas, because he himself is contributing. Instead of the person whose niyat and maqsad is, how much can I gain from this institution? If that is going to be his niyat, then what is he going to serve with ikhlas? So the whole world is on, how much can I make out of anything? That's all. Selfishness, greed, hawa wo hirs. Therefore you hear many times in the dua. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat me dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Hawa and hirs. Very, very dangerous enemies. Greed is a thing that has led to so much of evils in the world. Greed. But it's another subject. We are talking here about fasad. Farmate the ki jis ke jo jaga jis kaam ke liye mauzu hai, us jaga agar wo kaam na ho raha ho, to wo jaga fasid samji jayegi. مدارس میں دین کی صحیح تعلیم نہ ہو تو مدارس فاسد. خانقاہوں میں اصلاح و تربیت کا کام نہ ہو تو خانقاہ فاسد. غرض دینی مراکز سے علم و عمل، دین و دیانت، تقوی و طہارت کا اہتمام ختم ہو جائے تو یہی ان جگہوں کا فساد ہے. Any place for whichever purpose it has been established, then that is what you must expect out of that place. The masjid is there so that we make our salat, so that we make our zikr, so that we make our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, so that we listen to waaz and nasihat, so that we may make dawat and tabligh. Now all these type of things, we can say, if the masjid, if these things are not done from the masjid, if a person doesn't make namaz in the masjid is there but no namaz takes place in the masjid. What they have in the masjid, political meetings, then will we say, now that is what the masjid was built for. And then if somebody asks a question, then they say, isn't politics part of Islamic teachings? If they only pitch up a political meeting in a masjid, no doubt politics is also part of Islam. But not in the manner that we have conduct our meetings, where there'll be facade. People are raising their voices and shouting, and sometimes there's even hitting and beating and punching and kicking in our political meetings. So will we say that that was Islamic politics? It was everything in the masjid. So whichever place, for whatever maqsad it is built, if that maqsad is not being fulfilled in there, then we'll say it is fasad. Like that our dini institutions, this seems to be now the condition. So it is all very good that we all come to the masjid or we go to dini programs. But there is a great need for an islah of our akhlaq, our muamlat, our muasharat, our dealings, our etiquette, our morals, our behavior. What is this every little while our fuses are blowing and we are behaving like beasts and terrorists in our homes? As it is, the world is searching for terrorists. Everywhere they're searching. For which home today there is a shortage of terrorists? Terrorizing the wife, terrorizing the children, terrorizing the parents. People are terrorizing the brothers and sisters, those who are younger than them, those who are weak and poor. How many terrorists we have? If only they have to arrest all terrorists like us then. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such that you win with akhlaq. Isha'at Islam, a beautiful kitab that was written. In there he mentions the author. He says that there is no doubt that if we have to look at the bravery of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and their courage in the battles that they went out for and the dignity with which they fought and everything else and their desire for martyrdom and shahadat, all those things in its place, he says. But if you really have to look at the spread of Islam, that was just for the defense of Islam. But for the real propagation, if you have to look at their akhlaq, it was that is what brought people in large numbers into the fold of Islam. Look at their honesty wherever they went, in the trade, in the business dealings. A person was like confident. If he traded with a Muslim, he was absolutely confident that I will never be cheated. Never be cheated. And if there was some misunderstanding, then that person will immediately rectify the situation. Even if it meant that the person had to return and refund a large amount, he will do it. If he was shown that there was a defect in the article, but that person made a mistake and he was not aware of it. But as far as cheating is concerned, the person knew that there's no question of cheating. He's a Muslim. Many times I gave that example, but I don't know, after years again it's coming into my mind. Otherwise I gave this sometimes, it happens like that some example I give it will every second day, third day will be the same thing. And sometimes it comes after 1-3 years. That example of the signboard. That the Muslim, his outward garb is his signboard. When you see a Muslim, he's got his mashallah beard there, sunnat length, and he's got his topi, and he's got his levas also Islamic, and above the ankle and all that. And he's got tasbih in the hand too. Sometimes he's got turban also. Now all these are signs that this person is a Muslim, and not just an ordinary Muslim, he's a good Muslim. So now what do you expect of that Muslim? Is just as what would you would expect if you see a signboard that tells you that this shop has got confectionery, it's got fruit, it's got veg, it's got meat, it's got fish, it's got this, it's got that, whatever they write there. It's a supermarket. Now when you go inside there, that is what you expect. If they say this is a dairy, so what do you expect in there? So like that, the signboard now is telling that this shop stocks all these items. So the person, if he wants to buy those items, then he will look for that signboard and he will go inside there. Now when he goes inside there, if he finds that instead of stocking veg and food and sweets and chocolates, when you go all round, they stock nothing but fertilizer there. And also having a terrible stench made of the worst kind. So now what will the person say? Supposed to be chocolates and veg and biscuits and ice cream. What's this fertilizer all around? You go this side, you say this fertilizer is good for this, this fertilizer good for this, this fertilizer good for that. So even if it may be good, but you're supposed to be stocking what you got on your signboard. But if the person has dead dogs and cats and monkeys in there, then you'll tell that person, please remove that signboard from there. Close your shop. Like there, this Muslim is advertising that I am a Muslim. I am a stockist of something, as they say, stockist of. It's got stocks. What have I got stocks of? I'm a Muslim, that means I've got stocks of taqwa in me. I've got stocks of tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Stocks of shukr, stocks of sabr, stocks of zuhad and qanaat, stocks of honesty, stocks of truthfulness, stocks of generosity and kindness, stocks of humility, stocks of nobility, stocks of piety. Now these are the stocks that he is carrying. Now if the person is trades with this Muslim, and he finds instead of having these type of stocks in, he's got stocks of cheat, deceit, lies, dishonesty, embezzlement, corruption, then it is just like that fertilizer that person is stocked. Unfortunately, we have become like that. Large number of people complain. I traded with him. I thought he was a good Muslim. But he cheated me. Non-Muslims say that. But I looked at him. I looked at his garb. They tell me how many men told me. Then we tell them, unfortunately, these days we have to test the person. Don't look at just the outward garb. So that is the facade that we are talking about. Facade, facade, everywhere there is facade. فرماتے تھے کہ آج کل بہت سے لوگ ایسے ہو گئے ہیں کہ خلق خدا کے ساتھ ایزا و اضرار کا معاملہ و سلوک کو اپنا اہم کام سمجھتے ہیں اور فتنہ و فساد برپا کر کے خوش ہوتے ہیں گویا فساد ان کی غذا بن چکی ہے بغیر اس کے اس کو چین ہی نہیں ملتا. There are so many Muslims who say that they get enjoyment in فساد to make two people fight, to make families fight, to lay false charges against family members or false accusation. The person gets some kind of enjoyment. And the amils and the taweez walas, they fuel this enjoyment. Which mothers have got the time to do jadu for the sons and make jadu for the daughters and make jadu for the children? Which mother likes to see their own son and daughter suffer? But finish. You just go to the Taweez wala and tell this one made jadu, that one made jadu, that one made jadu. Everybody made jadu. And we believe it also. We are so gullible. We believe it. And thereafter look at the friction and the disunity and the corruption that takes place. Parents don't talk to children. Children don't talk to parents. They showed me on the fingernail, they showed me on the wall, they showed me here, showed me there. How many times I have mentioned this, that there are so many incidents that you know. Nothing but lies, absolute lies. So that is that facade. Everywhere there is nothing but facade. And it is also actually an azab. It's an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because of our sins. When Allah ta'ala's azab comes, it comes in different forms. This is also an azab. For some people, of course, it is rewarding. Allah Ta'ala elevates their status and position. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was blamed. There was a scandal. But look at the position Allah Ta'ala elevated. Ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed. Till the day of Qiyamah, whoever will read Surah Nur, then he will read about the chastity and truthfulness and purity of Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So isn't that a great thing? So that is a different issue, but for the majority of us, we must consider ourselves in that bracket, that is because of our evils, our sins, that Allah Ta'ala creates. This is an azab, it's mentioned in the Quran Sharif, this disputes, arguments, friction and fight. One of the tafsir of that ayat is that it is an azab. Nigahe aqriba badli mizaj dostan badla. نگاہ اقربا بدلی مزاج دوستاں بدلا. نظر ایک ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. But Allah Ta'ala turns his gaze away, then finish. Gaze of rahmat, mercy, if it is turned, then it is finished. Then after that everybody will fight. Quarrels, arguments. And that is what destroys the happiness of a home. The happiness of a home is destroyed. Whoever is wrong or right is a different issue. But the happiness of that home is destroyed. How many people got no happiness when they go within the home? They just look for the first opportunity of running out. And then they want to go and sit in bars and clubhouses and night clubs and casinos and discos and pass their time till midnight, past midnight. And here at home the wife and children are waiting. So, نِگَاهِ اَقْرِبَا بَدْلِي مِزَاجِ دُوسَتَاں بَدْلَا نَظَرِ اُن کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. I mentioned, I think, in the Friday Bayan or before the Thursday Bayan, that this one new analogy came to mind. When I was talking to those people there at the Jeddah airport, that this connection, the person said he works for Nokia, so I said this connection is such a thing that everybody is in search of. But all these connections that we talk about, there's a payment for it, sometimes there's a signal not available, sometimes they say that you use more than the time allocated, all kinds of things. And sometimes they say your card is rejected. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the only connection where there is no such thing as no signal, there is no such thing as no time, there is no such thing as any bill will be sent, payment has to be made by certain time, then only will be able to speak to you. Or you'll be allowed to speak, nothing like that, any time. And something that really I felt happy myself. Sometimes you feel happy with your own example, which Allah Ta'ala puts in the mind. And that was about the rejected card. I said, sometimes they say the card is rejected. So if we have to look at into our hearts and our lives and our actions, then we find that we are those rejected cards. Completely rejected because of our amal and our actions. We have made shaitan dominant in our lives and hawa or hirs dominant in our lives. So therefore we have become rejected. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, then no matter what kind of rejected card it may be, but put it into the machine of tawbah and istighfar. How they take certain cards, we go to the counter there and we say that this card of mine is not opening my door. Many a times it happens in the hotel rooms, after some time we say, then this card now, the door is rejecting it. So we take that card and we go to the counter there. They take it and put it into the machine again. And then they say, right now take it. And we take it back and we put it in there, the door opens. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us that kind of machine of tawbah and istighfar. No matter what we may be, no matter how far we may have gone, no matter how rejected we may be. But we should never be dejected. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is there to accept as long as we revalidate. Put the card, make tawbah, istighfar, cry before Allah ta'ala. We have made mistakes in our lives. Oh Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. We are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. We have used your ni'mat and your bounties for your disobedience. But we don't want to go back to those sins. We do not want to return to those evil actions of ours. Cry, repent, shed tears before Allah Ta'ala. Apne malik se ut kar ke faryad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. Apne malik se ut kar ke faryad kar دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر. روح کو نور تقویٰ سے تو شاد کر. روح کو نور تقویٰ سے تو شاد کر. نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. That's all that is required. Cry before Allah Ta'ala. that card will come, revalidate. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, now it's valid. And not only that, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives in'am on top of that, on rejected cards which the person has now made valid through his istighfar and tawbah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives such a reward that inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves those who make tawbah. Those who made sincere tawbah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now not only validates their card, but He loves them. And then He starts giving them in'am on that now in this world already. On that sincere tawbah and istighfar, which now made him muttaqi again. Things due to people started returning, started his qaza, whatever he hurt anybody or started asking for maaf. So now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala already started giving him the in'amat of taqwa upon that sincere tawbah. Straight away, now he starts getting in'amat. Those cards again, they will become invalid. If the person was given a card, it was rejected, now he validated it and he's got 100 rand, 500 rand now time on it. So if he's going to speak another 3 hours, it'll come with, if there was 5 hours time, it'll come with left with 2 hours. And if it was a 3 hour time and he spoke for 2 hours, 1 hour left. And here Allah Ta'ala is now increasing, he's paying back, multiplying and doubling up. And until when the person will go into Jannat, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will say, you know, that card that was rejected and invalid, which you charged up and validated through tawbah and istighfar, now this jannat is mine. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainnah, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Now go inside my jannat and enjoy now. Ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun samiyat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. And I don't know how many times I must have read that poetry. Unke rukh se niqaba jhutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Unke rukh se niqaba jhutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko, muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko, muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from his countenance the veils of noor will be removed. The person will see with his naked eyes, just as how we see the full moon. Our Allah, we will see with our eyes, for whom we were making all our salat and giving zakat and fasting and making ibadat and restraining ourselves from the zina and from all the haram. There was temptations coming all around in this World Cup. Now look at the temptation that will be there. The temptation. People will make mockery and fool of those people who will act like Sufi Sahab don't want to go and watch those games. The person will feel down. The person will feel like I'm a rejected person, like I'm an outcast. People will make mockery. They will tease. They will joke, they'll do everything. But this person knows that it is a mixture, it's a combination of sins upon sins upon sins. And what if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab comes in such type of places? Then what kind of mouth and death will that be? Now this person restrains himself. So now where will he get the full rewards? Full rewards will be in the akhirah. So keep in that company that is not going to talk all the time football, football, football. If the person is going to sit in a company that's all the time talking about drug, 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 then what is he going to do? He'll take drugs. If the person is sitting in a company of people that are talking about the enjoyment that they're getting and the high levels that they reach when they have taken a few pulls, how they float in the air. He said, what do you all talk about? Kayfiyat, kayfiyat, and kayfiyat. They must ask us, we'll tell you what kayfiyat is. You to also pull, take a pull and see what kind of kayfiyat you get. So now if he's going to sit in that kind of company, then he's also going to go on a high. He will after that bring him so low that it will be too late. So this is what we have to do. People want to know, what must we do then? What must we do? What must we do? That is what we have to do. Find some friends who don't talk football, football, football. Is there a shortage of such people? you can find one or two friends. After work, spend some time with them. Talk, eat, drink. Occupy yourself, especially during those hours where the games are going to be on. Then why go to a house where they're going to be watching it on TV even? And don't even go there at those times. Because those people, we are not going to be dominant over them. They will be dominant over us. There are 10 people sitting and watching. And now we say, no, I'm going to go there and make nasihat to them. So then it will be the same thing what I've said many times. Raat phir waiz bala no shok samjane gaye. Raat phir waiz bala no shok samjane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. Last night their wives went to make nasiha to the people in the bar. I'm going to take them out from there. But when he went in there after a little while, when he came out, he had a wobble in his walk too. So if we don't want that wobble, then don't go inside there at that time. Lots of other times to make nasiha. At that time, maybe go sit in good company. We don't say all the time, read tasbih and make zikrullah and make tilawat. Find some good friends, talk good things. Keep yourself occupied in things that are permissible. Mubah also at least is good. That's the only way that we'll be able to restrain ourselves. But if you're going to sit in a company that all the time talking now which team arrived and who's the major players in there and what is the track record and what are their ages and what's their weights. So then what's going to happen? There's times of fitnas, it's times of fitnas. What do we do when there's storm? When there's a storm, those who have experienced wind storms, even if you're traveling from Makkah Sharif to Madina Sharif and there was a wind storm, and that wind, all the sand, a sandstorm, it's frightening. And you can't walk outside with your eyes wide open. A person walk at that time with his eyes wide open in a sandstorm. And what does he do at that time? Closes his eyes and tries to run for shelter somewhere. Or if there's hail and stone and all that, what do we do? If there's hail and stone, do we stand in the hail and stone and talk about the beautiful stones that are hitting the heads? These people who talk about parda and veil and hijab and they're having problems with it, go there in winter time. When there's snow and sleet, go there winter time and see what those women are doing. The same women. They're British women or they're French women or the other women. See how they are dressed at that time. I've been to France when it was snowing, and it was sleet and snow and everything at that time. And strong wind blowing. Those same women, look at them. With the heavy, heavy coats and jerseys and garb. And face also covered fully. There's the slight eyes may be open exactly like our hijab and niqab. So why they don't have problem at that time? Why don't they say at that time, no, you must keep your face wide open. Clearly open. Because you could be a terrorist. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing how many examples we have. Ask them if it is true or lies. So when there's a storm, wind storm, this is what we will do. So when there's a sand storm, if we want to run, we want to run. Or if there's a huge snake that's coming towards somebody, we will stand there and admire the beautiful skin of the snake. We'll run. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So my young friends, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you such rewards because of the pressure that comes, peer pressure. And the resistance that you have to exercise. Old people now finish, one leg is in the grave. But as young people with everything going, sometimes you've got a lot of money, you've got a good car. You can buy the most expensive tickets, you can be in the front row, everything. Or you've got somebody that's offering you a free ticket. He's offering you a free ticket. So that's Maulana Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayhi, somebody gave him surma. So he said, I'll check it out with my Hakim to see if the ingredients are right. So he said, I'm giving you free and you still want to find out from your Hakim's house. So he said, your surma is free, but my eyes are not free. So like that, you tell him, your ticket is free, but my iman is not free. My iman is not free. What about the damage that is going to cause to my iman on the ground? All round, and there's going to be all the vuvuzelas. And all the puzelas. Those who drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us a life of happiness, sukoon, peace. Honestly, it doesn't even cross my mind. When they say this is happening, that is happening, and so many people came and went. What is going to help us? How will it help us? It will create restlessness in our heart. Casually somebody just spoke something, said differently or had something. And especially those who are supporters of a certain team. Now they expect that team to win because it was a major team or reputable. Now if they lose, then what happens? Look at the depression now that will come. And look at the amount of time that is wasted for 30 days or 35 days, hours and hours, days and days in Allah Ta'ala's nafarmani and sin and transgression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must protect us and save us. So how long are we going to worry about people? Did they not criticize Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Did not tease him? They called him the worst of names that you can think of. Majnoon, madman, for a Nabi of Allah ta'ala who is the greatest after Allah ta'ala. Same time Allah ta'ala could have destroyed those people. They're throwing stones at him. Throwing intestines of animals on his back. Thorns in his path. Dirt from the top. But he still gives them dua. Now for us, what they will say? You are stupid, foolish, mad. That's all. What are they? Orthodox. You all don't know what is enjoyment, fun, pleasure. That's all. Tell them, thank you very much. Or if we have to tell them something, they say, mind your own business. Then I always say, if I tell the person, I really appreciate that you're concerned about my business. These days, people, where they worry about another person's business. So you're saying, mind your own business, that means you're really concerned that I must not suffer any loss in my business. I must take care of my business. So I really appreciate the sentiments of yours and good-hearted nasihat of yours. Finish. You don't have the time to waste in this type of thing. Life is running out. Look at the visas of life are being cancelled, suddenly. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bula le khuda nahi maloom. Aur tausi bhi hai isme ghair mumkin aur niyad uski nahi maloom. Thursday night is normally over 1 hour program. Tonight, if anybody wants to sit, you sit, and if you want to go, you go, no problem. There's no time limit tonight. You may finish Fajr time. Although I'm sick, and the doctor said you got flu in your sleep. Let us try and do something to protect ourselves. Run from those places. We don't know when azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes. In the zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, I conclude on that now. A few nights ago in that house, there we had an informal majlis. And the ladies always complain that when it's informal, we don't get a chance to listen. But I was saying, look at this, different deaths. Now we're not talking about those deaths which came in the discos and the cinemas and the theatres and other places. But I'm talking about the sudden death that this alim in Benoni, Mulla Qasim Rahmatullah Ali. Now he delivered the khutbah. Now in that khutbah he says, Ala wa inna nafsan lam tamut hatta tastakmila rizqaha. In the khutbah he said, the person will not die. The gist of it is the person will not die until he has completed his rizq. Until his rizq is not completed, he's not going to leave this world. That's the meaning of it. Now he himself, as he was delivering that khutbah, he did not know that as far as his risk of food and drink is concerned was already over, finished. His risk of food and drink was already over. When he was mentioning that, there was no more risk left of food, drink, fruits, vegetable, meat, chicken, fish, all what we eat, which we term as our risk. That had already been finished. The only risk that was left now was those few breaths of his life. Those few breaths of his life. That's all was left. He completes the khutbah, comes down, Juma day, in a state of wuzu, ready to perform the namaz, and he passes it. Finished. So when you listen to that tape, as the person is coming to the end, you get a heartbeat. Your heart skips, because now you know this person, because we know it after, now that he passed away after that. So we know exactly that exactly at this moment he passed away. So when you're listening, this year now, this now is about 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 3 minutes, two, one, and finish. That is life. The person who is saying that also doesn't know that in the next 2 minutes time, I'm going to be leaving this world. We were making tawaf after Asr Salat some 2-3 years ago. We made our tawaf, made our Asr Salat. And then after the Asr Salat, we went towards Safa and Marwa. As we're just walking in Egyptian or Jordanian or someone in Ihram, he also made his tawaf before Asr, and now he's joining us towards Safa and Marwa. And he just collapses and he's gone. Now these are the Mubarak deaths I'm talking about, Mubarak deaths. The woman travels from here to South Africa, arrives Jeddah, she falls suddenly very ill in the plane. Well, whose phone is that? Switch it off. Falls ill in the plane. From there, they bring her to Madina Sharif. Madina Sharif, she says, just let me see the Rosa Mubarak, the green robe. So from the outside, they show her the green robe. From the ambulance, take her to hospital and passes it. In Riyazul Jannah, the person was standing a few years ago, he was standing making his salat. And the next thing, he collapses. And everybody said, oh, thought he went unconscious or he had a blackout or something. And next thing, they're covering him with a sheet, he passed it. What a Mubarak death. What a Mubarak death. They say certain deaths you just wish that you were in place of that dead person. Certain deaths are such that our heart desires, I wish I was in the place of this person. But the lessons that we learn, besides these Mubarak deaths, then you have enough evidence of sudden deaths in the wrong places. So where can we be in those places and feel quite happy and satisfied that Allah Ta'ala does not have the power to do anything? Don't challenge Allah Ta'ala, especially those who already know a wrong is a wrong. When we know that a wrong is a wrong, then to be brave and bold and say that I'm going to challenge Allah Ta'ala, as if we just try to cover up and we try to think that there's nothing wrong with it. Or what must I do? What must I do? What must we do? What do we do to save ourselves from harm? Like the same thing we do to save ourselves from spiritual harm. Spiritual harm is worse. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah at large the tawfiq of amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. He يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are living in a very, very vicious environment. My beloved Allah, all around us is nothing but fitnas and fasad. Hum kidhar jaye mere maula, where do we go, which side do we turn? Storms lashing at us from our right and left, from in front of us and behind us, pouring from the satellites above us. Our families, our friends, our society, my beloved Allah, and within our own homes, nothing but fasad within us. Ey Rabbe Kareem, humare haal par raham farma, karam farma. We are extremely weak servants of yours. If you are not going to protect us and safeguard us, who is going to safeguard us? Create the means, my beloved Allah, for the protection of our iman, for the protection of our akhlaq, for the protection of our morals, for the protection, my beloved Allah, of our modesty and our haya and our shame. Ay Rabbi Kareem, grant us protection of your iman. My beloved Allah, save us and protect us from your ghazab and your anger. We know that we are engaged and we are engaging in so much of sins and vices that we are deserving of the worst of all punishment. But you don't love to punish, you really love forgiveness of sins. My beloved Allah, our cards have become rejected. But we are making tawbah, we are making istighfar, we are turning towards you. You really love forgiveness of the sinners who turn towards you. Ey Rabbe Kareem, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, save us from your ghazab and your anger. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahik ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahik ghazab ka hai usko aman de. اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ در پر تیرا بندہ با امید کرم آیا تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ با امید کرم آیا اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ با امید کرم آیا My beloved Allah, so many young people raising their hands before you this part of the night or the Saturday. What else is it, my Allah, except great hope, great hope? They have come to your door. We are tapping at your door with great hope in your mercy, your forgiveness, your kindness. Ey Rabbe Kareem, ab to hamare liye faisla kar de, apna banane ka faisla kar de. My beloved Allah, if you make us yours, then nafs and shaitan cannot steal us. give us enjoyment in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat. Bless us with your marifat, with your qurb, with your muhabbat. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. The fitnas have begun by Allah of the World Cup. Ey Rabbi Kareem, protect us, safeguard us, distance us from all the haram and all the fitnas. Ey Rabbi Kareem, give hidayat to those Muslims who due to their weakness, my beloved Allah of Iman, are not understanding and realizing that it causes your wrath and anger to descend. Give them hidayat, my beloved Allah. Bless us also with hidayat, which is complete in every aspect of our life. Ey Rabbi Kareem, mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi, teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm maaf kar. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, or any kind of haram place or action. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Medina for you. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with shahadat in Medina Tayyibah. Tamanna hai ki gulzare Medina ab watan hota. Waha ke gulshano koi apna bhi chaban hota. Basar ab zindagi apni diyare quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi gore kafan. If it is not destined, wherever it may be, let him stay that you are pleased with us. Deen ke har kaam ko qubool farma. Bless us with ikhlas in all our actions and deeds. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering of the ummat around the globe, especially in Palestine at present, my Allah. یا اللہ ان مجاہدین کی مدد فرما، نصرت فرما، ان کی حفاظت فرما، مسلمان بیوی بچوں کو یا اللہ تمام ایمان والوں کی حفاظت فرما، کہ ہدایت تو ظالم یہودیز، and if it is not in the مقدر because of the obstinacy, then shake the ground beneath your feet. Destroy them like you destroyed the عاد and the ثمود. اے رب کریم، ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، رحم فرما. Ya Rahim, you are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations in the hearts of everyone who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With great hope and great umid, fulfill the good wishes, desires, aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of each and every individual. With your fazl and kindness, remove the pain and suffering. Hamari duao ko qubool kare, qubool kare, qubool kare. اب جیسے بھی ہے قبول. برحمتک یا